and welcome to Talkin' Telehealth. I'm Erica Grau.
And I'm Kathy Ford.
Telehealth is having a dramatic impact on the way patient care is being delivered. On our show, we'll examine how telehealth can simplify communication, improve office workflow, and most importantly, drive better patient care. In addition to hearing some great clinical stories about telehealth in practice, we'll talk about where telehealth is today and where it's going, including how the latest regulations are impacting provider operations and reimbursement. You can find podcasts of previous episodes of Talkin' Telehealth on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com and rhinogram.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at #TalkinTelehealth and follow us at Rhinogram on Twitter.
So we're following up our star-studded guest from last month with yet another great one, Mr. Shannon Hastings, who is the Chief Technology Officer for Rhinogram. Tell you a little bit about Shannon. Shannon is a seasoned leader with over 20 years in the healthcare technology arena. He brings with him a very deep knowledge of software as a service, secure and scalable platforms, service-oriented architectures, distributed computing, technology evaluation, and a whole bunch of product engineering and operations experience and successes. Shannon has also held leadership roles at multiple healthcare IT companies, such as NantHealth, iSirona, Inventrio, and the Software Research Institute in the Center of IT Innovations in Healthcare at The Ohio State University. In full disclosure, I also must share with you all that Shannon and I have a history together. He is my work sibling, I would call him.
That's right.
We'll debate later who's the older one. But in all honesty, Shannon, it has been such a pleasure to work with over these last 8 or so years across multiple companies. We've had the great opportunity to kind of take our learnings and carry them on from organization to organization, and together really producing, you know, high quality, high value healthcare IT solutions that are impactful to people's everyday lives. And the more we do it together, the more efficient and the more effective we get. So love the fact that we get to work together. And I am really enjoying the fact that I get to interview you today. So with that.
Thanks for the great introduction. And I'm happy to be interviewed.
So after the reimbursement debate, probably one of the most talked about challenges that is happening right now, in fact, very much right now, is employing advanced technology like telehealth platforms, and then the topic of integrations. Shannon is the absolute best person to talk about integrations. He is what I would consider an expert in this space, having integrated IT to IT, device to IT, and a whole host of other connections there. Let's jump right into it and share some of the things that medical practices need to focus on when it comes to the topic of integration and looking at your telehealth platforms, knowing that you've got an EHR or practice management in place. You know, what's the first thing that comes to mind, Shannon, that these practices need to be thinking about?
Well, I mean, you're definitely right when it comes to, you know, the practice management system or the EHR sort of being the center of their universe. And so being able to add value to that, whether it's telemedicine, you know, scheduling appointment reminders, anything that you want to put on top of that, or that ecosystem of the EHR, or the PMS, if you don't have integration, you're really starting from behind. And that's because the staff, the physicians, they'll be having to enter the information twice. They'll be having to go to different places. There's a chance for error during that entry. And so the integration is really key to keeping that data in sync, but also providing them sort of a seamless environment when they move from the EHR over to that value-added service, whether it's a telehealth platform or a scheduling system. If that data is not in sync and not correct, that they're really just asking for issues and trouble, and they're gonna have trouble adopting the value-added service. So it's not just important, I would even go as far as to say it's pretty much a requirement. And if you don't have that capability, you really are going to have a real challenge succeeding, not only the staff succeeding, But you as a vendor trying to add a value-added service without that integration, you're really just creating an environment for that physician or that hospital where they're going to have challenges succeeding.
It's an interesting point because integration, you know, has been around for a long time. Maybe back in the day, we may have called it interfacing. But the good news is it has been evolving. But I think to a lot of practices, especially non-hospital based, that there's still sort of this unknown that it's difficult, expensive, it can't be done perhaps. And so I'd love for you to talk more about the, say, evolution of what we know as app stores or marketplaces that a number of the EHRs have put in place now for, you know, a period of time. And yeah, why is that important? What's different about, you know, those EHRs that have that sort of integration or that type of integration? So tell me your thoughts about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a changing world. So 10 years ago, maybe a little less, integration was only something you could do with a large hospital system via an HL7 feed into an interface engine. And it's true, it's very expensive, very time consuming, and certainly your smaller private practices just didn't have that capability or that opportunity. But over the years, that especially within the last 5 years, there's just been a huge movement towards moving to API-based integrations. And these APIs are very, you know, modern. They use modern security. They use modern web service technology, much lower cost, much lower barrier to entry for a vendor to be able to create a value-added service on top of that practice management system or that EHR. And the EHR companies have also started to embrace this. So they've, you know, you pick your favorite one, they've almost all created an API layer to expose to third-party vendors to create value-added services. Now, the challenge there is that even though they've all created these APIs, there's still a pretty big gap when it comes to standards. And so, you know, for example, if I as a vendor creating a telehealth platform, I'm trying to provide a value-added service, I still today, to some extent, have to write that interface against each individual EHR. They're still not quite coming to a standards-based approach, at least at the 5 year ago mark. And so that still poses some challenges for vendors to create those types of services, because they have to do a one-off implementation for each specific EHR. And in the last few years, we've seen an even greater standards push towards something called FHIR, which is not just an API-based exposure of the capabilities, but now a standards-based API exposure of the capabilities. And so what they're trying to do, much like HL7 did, is create a standard where you can sort of write it once and run it anywhere. And so a vendor can now create a value-added service using FHIR, which is a standards-based way, much like HL7, except exposed through really modern web standards. And they can create that service now, write it once, and actually have it operate against many, many EHRs, all of those that support the FHIR standard. And that's to say, it's not quite a silver bullet yet. The standard's great. That is the direction that the community is going, but all the EHRs haven't quite got themselves up to the FHIR standard yet. So it's still a little bit of a mixed bag, but the good news is that they all are heading in that direction. So, you know, give it another year, maybe two, and you will start to see real ubiquity across the EHR platforms and the PMS platforms, all exposing this FHIR API capability. And so what that's really going to do is it's really going to open the floodgates, and you're starting to see some of it now. And you brought up, you know, the app stores, and these EHRs have most of the more prominent ones have embraced this notion of an app store. And what that means now is that, yes, you can code against their API and hopefully code against their FHIR API and be able to write it once and deploy it against all sorts of customers using just about any EHR. But now you've got this marketplace that you can deploy your app. And so much like Apple revolutionized the App Store concept with the phone, the EHR companies are now starting to get into this same sort of thought process when it comes to adding extensions to the EHR and adding value-added services. So for telehealth, you're starting to see lots of vendors crop up and put themselves in those app stores. And it's not only a great place to be able to get your solution out there, but it's also a great place for the consumer to come find you. So the consumer now can go to the app store of the EMR that they have or the PMS that they have. They can do a quick search for what they're looking for, whether it's, you know, a solution for appointments or a asynchronous telehealth solution. And they can find that in the app store, usually with a couple clicks, maybe some document signing. And next thing you know, they've added this to their PMS. And so this is a great deal different than where we were 10 years ago. I mean, the IT lift is not there. We don't need to call a bunch of IT staff to turn on an HL7 feed. They're literally finding you in the app store, clicking around, reading the reviews of other users. Much more modern, very much adopted sort of that Apple style of the App Store marketplace and bringing it to healthcare. And it really is moving in the right direction. And I do think we're not that far from vendors really being able to write once and deploy everywhere.
That's such an interesting point as far as, I suppose, those that might be shopping for their next EHR or practice management solution, that if you're looking for a way to gain access with essentially very little to no risk as far as integration and complexity goes, that looking for your value-added vendors, you know, such as Rhinogram, for example, for telehealth and patient communications, that you have these vetted vendors that are complying with the most modern connectivity requirements from a technology and continuity standpoint. So yep. Those are really great points.
Yep, I do think it's also very interesting you bring that up, and that's something that the buyer, the hospital or the physician running his practice, that's something that they should definitely be thinking about. You know, how does the EMR I'm about to purchase actually have an app store? Do they have an open API or is at least appear that they're very open to third-party vendors? Because you certainly don't want to choose one that is going to hold you back when it comes to adding value-added services to your practice. And so, you know, I realize the EHR is the center point, and I don't think that's going to change. I think the EHR is always going to be the center point, but having an EHR that really is open and really does embrace the notion of value-added services being put in a marketplace that really add to the experience is a good thing, and something that as a buyer, you know, you should certainly be aware of.
Couldn't agree more. I think those are great insights. It is really, I'd say, very encouraging to hear that healthcare is progressing as it relates to a new set of standards, you know, an even faster, cheaper, better way to manage discrete data and deliver to systems, to complementary systems, the data that they need when they need it in a secure and reliable way. So we'll look forward to hearing more from you as Spire and SmartFire continue to take hold and progress in our industry, and let's see where we find ourselves later this year. When we talk about integrations and standards and all the elements that are around that, you cannot have that conversation without talking about security. It's kind of part and parcel to data and data movement. Let's kind of continue the conversation and the thought process of once you get the data, of course, it has to be safe. But I mean, let's dive into that a little bit. You know, what are you seeing here as far as what does safety look like in healthcare and with healthcare data today?
It's a super hot topic. And, you know, right now there's some statistics out that say that the average breach is somewhere around $3.9 million in total cost to the organization. So it's just not something to mess around with. And so you're seeing a ton of push on security, and you're also seeing lots of news articles on anything that relates to a weakness in that area, especially when it comes, you know, to healthcare. And so what we're seeing is just a lot more attention, and it's not about saying, hey, my app is more secure. Security is actually something that has to be practiced within the organization. So the organization needs to show, you know, that it's fully compliant, it believes in auditing, it's using modern security and encryption technologies, it the organization needs to make sure it's training its workforce, whether it's its engineering team, its support teams. And so getting to that level of detail is kind of difficult when you're choosing a vendor. But as a vendor on our side, we know that going through, you know, vendor security assessments is key, being able to show and prove that you take security very seriously, and not just security, but risk management and all of the gamut that follows around trying to make an environment that not only is secure, but that stays secure over time. And security is not a one-time thing. It's not a point in time thing. It's again, it's a practice that you follow throughout the engineering process as well as the operations of the product.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think about what's been in the news lately. If you look at, you know, Ring, who just exposed thousands of customer data. I also have my own personal recent experience. For any of you out there who I might be connected to on LinkedIn, I apologize, but I did not have two-factor authentication turned on, and therefore I was hacked and, you know, infiltrated, you know, 1,200 people. And so it's a reminder that healthcare data is obviously far more important and sensitive than my LinkedIn profile, for sure. But I mean, let's talk more about some of the specific risks that we want our listeners to consider as they're thinking about security breaches. What comes to mind for you?
It's definitely what you brought up already, right? It's things like two-factor authentication, rotating passwords, just some of the basic stuff that you would find in any of your banking applications. You would expect to have that same level of capability in your healthcare applications. And it's not just about are you HIPAA certified? Are you HIPAA compliant? It's about, do you practice that on a daily basis? And does this application that I'm about to use enable me to practice that? Is it secure end to end? Does it automatically log out if I leave my workstation for 10 minutes? So some of those are really key questions to ask when you're looking at a product, or you're looking to add a value-added service. Does it really check those sanity check boxes about modern security that I would find in just about anything else that I'm using?
And looking at healthcare, some devices, for example, and some other platforms that have, you know, been around for a while, are not contemporary enough to support, you know, what we now look at as industry standard precautionary and protection and storage and logging and all that good stuff. But specifically, I think, at least I hear, you know, maybe some confusion, or, you know, the term encryption it's a big term, means a lot. So, you know, kind of break it down for us and tell us really what that means when you're looking at, if two systems have an API that, you know, talk to each other, where does that fit? When you're talking to a provider, you know, where does that fit?
Right. There's certainly very accepted modern standards to be able to do that type of communication. And so things like using OAuth, for example, as a way to authorize and authenticate the user to the system. That's a standard you would find in any banking institution. You would also find it in using Google or Facebook. Things like end-to-end encryption, when making those calls and communicating to get that patient data, it should be done using the highest levels of encryption that's recommended by the government. So you should see things like SHA-256 and AES-256. And I know those are extremely technical terms, but those really are the levels of encryption that you would be expecting to see in a product that's advertising itself as being integrated with APIs. You would expect to see that it's using standard authentication mechanisms and standards-based encryption mechanisms, whether that data is in motion and that data being at rest. Those are the two key critical areas to make sure that data is fully encrypted. And also things like logging and auditing, being able to know the history of that piece of data is also very critical. Was the data modified in any way, and by who, and did we expect that person to have access and make that modification, and being able to go back and look at those logs and validate that the data is exactly the way that you expect it to be. Those are all very critical things in a modern secure application.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm still somewhat surprised when I have conversations out in our industry, whether it's at trade shows or in meetings, when I run across providers or an organization that feels like their data is safer when it's sitting on a server in their closet or, you know, at a location down the street. And where I see it very differently, and I think you do as well, how do you truly secure your data? And it's multiple layers, as I understand it. So maybe share a bit more detail about that.
Yep, I will definitely say, and we've seen this actually probably about the last 10 years within the larger hospitals, that they used to have this thought that the data's got to stay within my hospital network. It's much safer there. I think what you're finding is that is not to say it's a fallacy, but it's definitely much more harder for an organization to keep the data safe sitting on its own network, on a piece of machinery that's sitting within that physical location. It's just not the same as if that data is in a SaaS-based platform, sitting in a trusted vendor, someone like Amazon, for example, who has all the compliances that you can imagine when it comes to data security and encryption at super high federal accepted levels. They've gone through SOC SOC compliance audits, they have HIPAA guidelines. It's just hard to imagine a small organization can do it better than someone like that, who just has vast amounts of experience and also vast amounts of exposure, because they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of users on their system. So they have just a whole lot more risk. And so that actually makes them better because they're managing that risk. So I do think it's an interesting thing. And I've seen the evolution, you know, the last 10 years that those hospitals have really moved the other direction. Now they're really accepting this notion that, you know, having a vendor sitting in a SaaS environment, such as Amazon or Microsoft, is much safer, if not a whole lot more safer, than having them install a server inside my hospital. And if you have paid attention to the news, you've seen a lot of these recent sort of ransomware things, right? And the ransomware really is when someone infiltrates that hospital through a networking device that's exposing that hospital network to the outside world. And then all of a sudden they get hacked, the data gets encrypted actually, and basically stolen and held for ransom. And there really is not a whole lot of recourse that you have as an institution when something like that happens. That data hopefully is backed up and recoverable, but it's also been stolen. And so I think the notion of, you know, hey, I'd much rather have that server sitting in my hospital has really, really dwindled away in the last few years. And not just because of the ransomware thing, but also just the level of compliance that's required to really house patient data it's very complicated. It's very serious. It takes a large risk mitigation approach and security compliance approach. And doing that on a really mature vendor that already has many of those things in place is just a much easier environment to work with.
All right. Well, Shannon, this has been a really fantastic conversation, and I think there's more to come here. So as we wrap up, I do want to ask you, for your colleagues out there who are shopping currently or will be looking for a value-added solution such as Rhinogram, a telehealth platform, a patient communication approach, or anything out there, what would you recommend as, say, the top three punch list items must have when you're evaluating those options out in the marketplace?
Even better, I'll give you a fourth, but let's start with the first one. The first one I think really important is compliance. Are they HIPAA compliant? Do they manage patient consent? You know, if you're looking for a telehealth solution, are they managing that consent that patient has agreed to use that type of communication? Have they looked at or are certified through ONC to go that extra step and make sure that they're fully compliant? So compliance is just a really big one. I think it's the number one, especially in the security environment we're in today. The next one I'll say is single sign-on. If the organization doesn't have a way to manage the users in one unified place, it's just going to be a huge lift for them, especially a large organization with maybe hundreds of users. You got to be able to have single sign-on. You would expect that in any modern piece of software that you're going to add to your health environment. I think thirdly is does it use OAuth? Is it a modern authentication mechanism? Is that what is being used to communicate and integrate the data that you're bringing in? I like to use this example when logging into my bank, you know, I really expect that that's secure and highly modern, but guess what? They're using the same technology as logging into Facebook. You know, they're using OAuth. And the fourth one is that it really needs to be SaaS-based. You know, it should be an application that's being hosted in one of those big three cloud providers that have all of the compliance and security that we talked about. And also being SaaS-based is really important. I mean, true SaaS-based, where the software is actually always up to date. Think about the last time you logged into Facebook. Was there ever a maintenance page? And so, you know, there just never is. The software is always up to date. It's always being deployed in its most up-to-date fashion. And I think healthcare applications should follow the same suit. There's just no reason to have downtime.
Yeah, gone should be the days where anybody cares what version of software they're running for their healthcare IT solution, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's the point. We don't know what version Facebook uses or Amazon is using. We don't have to care.
Right. And we are consumers and we expect it to just work.
Exactly. And to be fully up to date and, you know, to be constantly updated. So that's where healthcare needs to go. That's where your next vendor, your next solution that you choose should, I agree, Shannon, should be able to check these boxes with confidence. So with that, I want to thank you for joining us today. I think this has been a terrific conversation about the evolution of integrations and also the tie-in of security and how important that is. I look forward to connecting back with you again to see where we're at as our industry continues to progress. Thanks again, Shannon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on Talk and Telehealth, recorded at Rhinogram headquarters in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. You can learn more about Talk and Telehealth on the show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com or rhinogram.com. Find us on iTunes under Healthcare Now Radio or tune in Monday through Friday and listen through your smart speaker by asking, play Healthcare Now Radio. Be sure to connect with Rhinogram on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, if it's in the world of telehealth, we're talking about it.